Today we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 16, the Lord's attempt to go to Vrindavan. Starting with text 242, we will read a few verses, and then Srila Prabhupada's purport coming later. Etakahi Mahaprabhu Tandre Vidai Dila Gareyasi Mahaprabhu Shiksha Acharila. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Das, who returned home and did exactly what the Lord told him. Raghunath Das Goswami went to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, and then he went to see the devotees in Navadvip by the transcendental arrangement of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who, knowing that the Lord was going far away, took him close to the house of the Lord's previous house, so that he could meet Mother Sachi and the devotees in Navadvip, who had not seen him after taking sannyas. Anyone remembers what happened? Well, Raghunath Das Goswami came to see him, and then he told him something.
He told him, go back and...
Yes. He told him, go back and please your parents. Your parents are very disturbed, and do not be a crazy fellow. Prabhupada translates it like this. Don't be a crazy fellow. Go back and please your parents. And later on in the future, you will be able to come back to me, and Krishna will give you the intelligence. All the some tricks will be there so that you can come back to me. But for now, go and please your parents. Don't become an artificial renunciate by abandoning your wife and parents too soon. This was the instruction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here it says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Swami says, that Raghunath Das, he followed the instruction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 243. After returning home, Raghunath Das gave up all craziness and external pseudo-renunciation and engaged in his household duties without attachment. When Raghunath Das' father and mother saw that their son was acting like a householder, they became very happy. Because of this, they slackened their guard. They had 11 people taking care of Raghunath Das to prevent that he will escape home. So then they relaxed. They kept less people supervising him. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Raghunath Das' father and mother saw that their son was no longer acting like a crazy fellow and was responsibly attending to his duties, they became very happy. The 11 people, 5 watchmen, 4 personal servants, and 2 brahmanas who were guarding him became less strict in their vigilance. When Raghunath Das actually took up his household affairs, his parents reduced the number of guards. 245-46. Meanwhile, at Shantipur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assembled all his devotees, headed by Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, embraced them all and asked their permission to return to Jagannath Puri. Because he had met them all at Shantipur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees not to go to Jagannath Puri that year. So it seems that this is the second time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Shantipur. He was traveling on his way to Vrindavan the second time, not the first time. There was a first time, and this is the second time. Because devotees used to go to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this time he asked them, do not come to Jagannath Puri because I will be going to Vrindavan. I will not be here. I will not be there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I shall certainly go to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. If all of you give me permission, I shall return here again without difficulty. Clasping the feet of his mother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly requested her permission. Thus she gave him leave to go to Vrindavan. Srimati Sachi Devi was sent back to Navadvip, and the Lord and his devotees started for Jagannath Puri, Niladri. The devotees who accompanied Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rendered all kinds of service on the way to Nilachala. Jagannath Puri. Thus in great happiness the Lord returned. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri, he visited the temple of the Lord. News then spread all over the city that he had returned. All the devotees then came and met the Lord with great happiness. The Lord also embraced each of them in great ecstatic love. Kashi Mishra, Ramananda Roy, Pradyumna, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vaninath Roy, Sikhi Mahiti, and all the other devotees met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit also came and met the Lord. Then, before all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak as follows. It was my decision to go to Vrindavan through Bengal in order to see my mother on the river Ganges. Thus I went to Bengal, but thousands of devotees began to follow me. Many hundreds and thousands of people came to see me out of curiosity, and due to such a large crowd, I could not travel very freely on the road. Indeed, the crowd was so large that the house and the boundary walls of the house where I stayed were destroyed, and wherever I looked, I could see only large crowds. You can imagine how many people there were there and pushing, and then the walls fell apart. Of course, in India, the walls are not that strong. I don't know if they will demolish the castle. But anyway, there were so many people where they are pushing. Sometimes it is described that they will make holes. They will take the dust of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and there will be holes on the ground, on the land, because people were so eager to take the dust. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will pass, there will be if the road was flat, then there will not be very suitable to circulate with a car later on. Of course, there were no cars, but so many holes they made. With great difficulty, I went to the town of Ramakeli, where I met two brothers named Rupa and Sanatana. These two brothers are great devotees and suitable recipients of Krishna's mercy, but in their ordinary dealings, they are government officials, ministers of the king. Srila Rupa and Sanatan are very experienced in education, devotional service, intelligence, and strength. Yet they think themselves inferior to a straw in the street. Indeed, the humility of these two brothers could even melt stone. Because I was very pleased with their behavior, I told them, although you are both very exalted, you consider yourselves inferior, and because of this, Krishna will very soon deliver you. Purport. Such are the qualifications of a pure devotee. Materially, one may be very opulent, experienced, influential, and educated. But if one still thinks himself lower than a straw in the street, one attracts the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Krishna. Although Maharaj Prataparudra was a king, he took up a broom to cleanse the road for Lord Jagannath's Ratha chariot. Because of this humble service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of this humble service, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with the king, and for that reason, the Lord embraced him. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, a devotee should never be puffed up by material power. He should know that material power is the result of one's past good activities, karma, and is consequently transient. At any moment, all one's material opulence can be finished. Therefore, a devotee is never proud of such opulence. He is always humble and meek, considering himself lower than a piece of a straw. Because of this, the devotees are eligible to return home back to Godhead. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim Yatkripata Mahambande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Vanchakalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is again giving his instruction of how we should become in order to attract his attention, to attract his mercy. We find also this very same instruction in the third verse of the Shikshastaka prayers. Trinata Pisunichena, Tarori Vasakishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Lord Chaitanya says that we should become humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and be ready to offer all respect to others without expecting respect for ourselves. These are the four elements or the four ingredients that we should take into consideration when cultivating these instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually this is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the antidote to offensive chanting. The majority of us have a tendency to chant the holy name of Krishna with offenses, isn't it? Generally, chanting with offenses means we chant without proper attention. Our mind goes all over the place. For example, what I'm going to do later on during the day, or what I was doing yesterday, what my friend told me, I like it very much, what my competitor told me, I didn't like it, such a foolish person, why did he or she speak like this to me? And the mind is constantly giving different messages. All could be very more superficial things. I'm feeling it is cold here, today is cold, or it is too hot, anything, anyone passes by, and then we think, oh, such person, I have to tell this about this, I shouldn't forget, later on I will tell him. Of course, for managers it's good to carry a little notebook, and then we take, if the mind gives us some message and we don't want to be worried all the time about what to do, then we can write it down, and then it's there, and we can go back to the chanting peacefully. In any case, the point is that we chant many times inattentively. Sometimes also the mentality is a mentality of very superficial. Can you think, for example, of some other actions or attitudes that we have when we chant that are offensive? Besides what I said, what other attitudes can be? You can remember the 10 offenses. Can you think of some? Blaspheme a devotee. Sometimes we may criticize a devotee in our mind for whatever reason, but we criticize a devotee.
Do not do an effort for hearing.
We don't do an effort to hearing. So we take the holy name as a ritual. This is the 8th offense. Actually, the word pramada appears there. And to chant the holy name as an ordinary, superficial religious activity. I can do a ritual and then I get the result of the ritual. So we don't endeavor to hear. What else?
Chanting.
We chant with the intention of counteracting our own sins or our own offenses. So I think, oh, I made this, I have this problem, and I hope Krishna will forgive me for this nonsense that I did. Let me chant and get purified. But actually, we are not chanting to glorify the Lord. But then we are chanting, thinking how I will get rid from the brick that will fall on my head as a reaction from the nonsense I committed yesterday. So this is an offense because we are taking the holy name, using it for our own service instead of we serving the Lord from Mataji's side. We think sometimes that the holy name is imaginary or it is superficial. We don't take it very seriously, or we think, okay, this... we may not think in a very explicit way, but in an implicit way the mentality could be there. That we think, okay, this thing that you chant the holy name once and you get rid from more sins that we are able to commit, this maybe is too much, this is a bit exaggerated. Some doubts may creep in, whether specific doubts that we see them, or in a very subtle way, creating a mentality which is not faithful to the chanting, and which directs our attention elsewhere. Any other? We maintain material attachments. We chant, but still we have material desires. Material desires come to our mind, whatever these desires are. We have the jewel of the holy name, Golokera Prema Dana Harinama Sankirtana, descending from the spiritual world, Purna Shuddho, Nitya Mukto, the holy name completely pure, Purna Shuddho, Nitya Mukto, eternally liberated, Chintamani, Namak Chintamani Krishnas, a touchstone that can purify and transform anything and anyone. But still, we have material attachments while chanting. So it means we are not giving proper value. Again, it goes back to the point of not giving proper attention. So, although the holy name offers all these benedictions described in the first verse of the Shikshastaka prayers, cleanses the heart from all dirt accumulated during many lifetimes, uproots material existence, extinguishes the fire of material existence. We are being burned slowly. This is material existence. The suffering of material existence, it is like being burned very slowly. It is not that we get like electrocuted and then that's it, that's finished. But little by little, we are burned and there is suffering. And one suffering and then another suffering, another suffering, another suffering. Isn't it? Things happen little by little. And sometimes if we have good karma, we do not realize about the suffering until the reactions of the impious reactions come to us. I remember once there was one congregational devotee. He had a very happy life for 40 years or more. No big problems. But then suddenly his uncle, he had an uncle who was very close to him, like a father, like a second father. And he, what happened is that the uncle got an illness, I don't know the technical name in English, peritonitis in Spanish. Peritonitis. What happens is that the intestines go out of the bag which contains them. I mean, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know the details, but there is kind of a bag, and the intestines go out because it breaks. So it is so painful, extremely painful, that the person can only, I mean, even it seems that with morphine was very difficult to tolerate the pain. With morphine, they had to give big amounts of morphine. Yesterday, this professor who came, what was the name? Bert Bruckert. His main interest, although he's a professor in the study of religion, he is very much interested on ethical issues related to palliative care. Palliative care is care which aims to diminish the pain of a patient who is suffering a lot due to illness, to physical illness. And he said how nowadays, thank God that there are many medicines you can sedate the patient, and then the pain diminishes. Practically, the person does not notice the pain when he or she is very ill. Anyway, in that particular case, the uncle of this devotee, he was experiencing so much pain that even with medication, it was very hard for him. And this devotee, actually, his faith was shaken by seeing that, because he was accustomed to a happy life. So sometimes when we hear about suffering and being born We may think, oh, I mean, come on, I mean, this is an exaggeration, do not, I mean, don't speak like this. It's a few people suffer like that, but the majority of people, they have more or less a good life. But actually, sooner or later, suffering hits us directly or through a dear one. This is the law of material nature. And there is no guarantee that this is not going to happen. Like when Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, at the end of his life, when his body was very, very, very skinny, sometimes devotees don't like to look at the film of Srila Prabhupada at the end. Like also, we do not like to see Jesus when he's crucified, because that's very painful to see. So we do not like to see. Still, also there is a teaching. It is the last instruction. And Srila Prabhupada said, do not think that this is not going to happen to you. Do not take it for granted. So, anyway, so the holy name of Krishna is so blissful that takes away all this being born by material existence. Takes it away. The devotee, even if he is experiencing pain, may not be so aware of it because of his absorption on the holy name of Krishna. Or in extreme cases, like the ones I just described, he may feel the pain, but still, under the pain, and actually over the pain, even if it's under, Krishna is there, and the devotee is seeing Krishna's merciful hand taking care of him. Krishna is behind, taking care. Sometimes very difficult to understand, because we still have a link with the material body and mind. So when the pressure is there, it is very difficult to understand. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that humility is a key, or the attitude that will please the Lord, to the point that he will very soon, here says the verse. Because of this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, because you had such an humility, because of this Krishna will very soon deliver you. So Srila Prabhupada says that the guideline or the guidance verse for a devotee, for every devotee actually, he says in Nectar of Devotion, should be the Tatenu Kampan verse that says that even if we are experiencing suffering may be there, may be coming, in the body, in the mind, in personal relationships sometimes. Sometimes we like to have a happy family. In some cases happen. A devotee makes a plan for a happy family. But then Krishna has a different plan. He says, yes, a happy family, yes, but not here. I tell you where. Happy family, you come with me. Then you have a happy family. But in this world, many times it's very difficult to get that. Sometimes Krishna also gives mercy in this way, and he gives a situation very happy, and then all life happy, and then at the end back home, back to Godhead. That may happen, but one among how many? I don't know. I cannot say statistics. Maybe one of the college students can do a social research on that and see what percentage of devotees. You should do it anonymously, then no one feels threatened. And what percentage of devotees are happy in their material situation? Of course, the situation of devotees are not material, but you know what I mean, material in the sense of the external situation. So, in any case, we may experience difficulties in different ways, and the verse says that we should continue offering obeisances to the Lord within the core of our heart, without feeling any resentment. And this makes us the legitimate inheritor of Goloka Vrindavan, the kingdom of God. This is the inheritance we are qualified to receive if we cultivate such attitude, such instruction as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The topic of humility is very broad, and perhaps we can organize some seminar, maybe in the evenings, sometime once a week, and we could have some discussions and some workshops. I brought the computer, I will not use it because of lack of time, because we wrote some lesson plans for, there is a course for training leaders, and then we have some lessons on spiritual values based on the 26 qualities of the devotees as instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And humility is actually the main one. Humility is the most important. It is described as the first item on knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Amanitvam adambitvam. Amani, abandoning pride, adambitvam also is the same. It is actually the same. It is repeated twice for emphasis. There may be a little difference in I'm not a Sanskritist, so I cannot say exactly, but the word mana and damba are synonymous. Like we hear, for example, in the transcendental sense, Srimati Radharani, she becomes proud, mana, proud and angry. So amana, amani, when we abandon material pride. And this is actually, anyway, we can explore this more. Now we can take one or two comments or questions on what we discuss.
I was just going to comment that it's really impossible for anybody to have a fully happy situation in material life, because even if Krishna gave you a happy family, then generally the whole family doesn't die, leave the body at the same time, so you have to watch these family members leaving the body, and all that's so painful. So it's really impossible for anybody to have a happy situation.
Yes, good point. So even if Krishna gives us the best situation, always something is going to hit us, like death. Separation will come sooner or later.
It's contradictory. Like when Mother person is great, he said that he is more humble in devotional service. So how it happens, and what makes the person humble?
What makes a devotee humble?
The more he advances in the ocean service, he becomes more humble. So how does it happen?
Yes, I guess before be able to tell that, I will have to become humble myself. Then I will be able to say something. Something how that happens. But I mean, something we can say is that when the more we become Krishna conscious, and we Krishna conscious, the less we become self-conscious. So more Krishna conscious, the more we forget about ourselves, and this is humility. Humility does not necessarily mean all day going like this. That's not humility. As a matter of fact, sometimes this can be also superficial humility or false humility. Of course, we should offer respect, but to others. But we should do it from the heart. And so, like sometimes too humble may mean half humble. It's humble, it's half humble, not yet humble. So, humility, the more we become Krishna conscious, the more we forget about ourselves, and then we are really humble. Once I hear from one person, he was not an official devotee, I mean, I don't know what was in his heart. He was a person who was claiming to have connection with extraterrestrial beings. I was into that many years ago in the beginning, the esoteric world. And I met a group and I was preaching to them based on my previous experience. And this person, he showed me some of the messages he received. And they were good. I mean, I thought, wow, that's Krishna speaking. I don't know if the extraterrestrial beings are there as they imagine them, but the real extraterrestrial personalities from the spiritual world, they are speaking. And then he asked the that person was, what is humility? And the answer was, humility means to be nothing. Not in the Buddhist way, but to be nothing means designation. This is what we also aim for. Sarvapadi vinir muktam, tat paratvena nirmalam, to abandon all designations. But we see that this is not so easy. So when I know more, I will tell you more, but this is what I can say now.
But can you say also that humility comes from the heart? It's a genuine feeling. It's not something that you express it artificially, but you feel it. So you can say that it must be felt, it must come from the heart.
Yeah. Of course, sometimes we don't feel it, and we can act in a humble way, which is good also. This is what we practice. Like, we do not feel like paying obeisances. Sometimes people come to the temple. They say, I don't pay obeisances because I don't feel it. But still we encourage them to do it, because by doing it gradually, we will develop humility. So it is good to practice it, to do something for others, to serve. So, and humility means to finish on time the class also. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.